Special guests this evening are Denise and Stuart Savage from Seaside Colorectal Cancer Support Group. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much for joining me this evening.
It's a pleasure.
Great pleasure, thank you.
Lovely. And I'm so pleased you've chosen the playlist for this evening as well, but you had a little bit of help, didn't you?
We did, yes. We are actually folk musicians, and a lot of our folk music I don't think is mainstream enough, so our family got together and told us which tunes to
Excellent. So we've got the first tune coming up very, very soon, haven't we, Stuart? So tell us about this one.
Well, this is, I guess you'd call it our song, because it's Ray Charles with Georgia. And when we first met, when Denise was 17 and I'd have been about 18 and a half, this was high in the charts then, and it's the song I remember, and Denise does as well.
Yeah, it's a lovely song. It's from 1960, isn't it, this one? It's Georgia On My Mind by Ray Charles.
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia. Georgia, a song of you, comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in the peaceful dreams I see, the road leads back to you. Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see, the road leads back to you.
Just beautiful, that song. Thanks so much for choosing that one. really, really heartfelt. We're all sitting here very quietly listening to that, aren't we?
Yeah. That's very romantic.
Very, very romantic. So, I mean, we've got so much to talk about. But first of all, I wanted to find out a bit more about you two. So, starting with where you hail from, really. So, Stuart, you're a kind of local man, really, aren't you?
I'm certainly a Sussex man. I was born in Petworth in 1943.
Oh.
So I'm a wartime baby, really.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And what about yourself, Denise?
I was born in Cape Town in South Africa and came over to England in 1953 when I was 8 with my brother and my sister and my mum. So really we left my father behind. He joined us for a bit, but couldn't get a job as a head teacher, just from one country to another.
And you moved to West Sussex as well, didn't you?
We certainly did. We were brought up actually in Bognor Regis.
Okay.
And I went to school at Chichester, and that's through a friend at Chai High I met Stuart.
Yeah, and you've been together a long time, you guys, haven't you?
Certainly have, yes. I can remember the married part. That was about 56 years now.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were 17 and Stuart, you were 18 when you met. Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, so, and you've been through a lot together, haven't you?
We must say. Yes, we certainly have.
Yeah, you have. And you were a literacy consultant in your job.
I was. Actually, I was an English teacher for many years and then became a head of English at a school in Cranley. And then became a literacy consultant in Surrey. Mm. So I went round to several schools and we helped pre-Ofsted to prepare English departments for Ofsted.
Yeah. And your career is an interesting one, from engineer to prison officer.
That's right, yes. I started as an apprentice at Thomas Keating's in Billingshurst as a toolmaker, and I progressed on into commercial life after that and became a technical sales manager for a major German company in the oil and gas industry. But by my mid-40s, I was getting a bit fed up with travelling, so I came back to England and had a big change and enjoyed it, actually. I worked 15 years as a prison officer before I retired. Yeah.
Mm, excellent. And so we're going to be talking all about the Seaside Colorectal Support Group, aren't we? But we're going to kind of go back to before that group was set up and your own experience, Denise. You're going to share a bit about that with us, aren't you?
Yes, in 2008 I had a very strange feeling in my stomach and none of the doctors could diagnose it, and it took 2 years to diagnose that I had a cancer. I thought it was appendicitis, they thought it was appendicitis. So it took a long time for them not only to diagnose it, but I didn't know before the operation that that's what I had. I had a tumour at the end of my appendix that had penetrated the bowel, and I'd have a chunk of bowel taken out. I've had four chunks of bowel taken out now, and it's left me with a stoma, which I live with. You know, it's manageable. People don't like to talk about it, but I'm very open about it.
Yeah, and I think that's really good, because one of the things that we've been talking about off air is how we want to make these conversations about, you know, this condition and other conditions, you know, to be ordinary. And we want people to be able to hear about it and talk about it, don't we, and share experiences.
Absolutely. And, and I think that's what Seaside does really, really well. But I know we're going to talk about that shortly.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But I just wanted to get back to the bit about diagnosis, because that was one of the things when we get to talking about Seaside, we're going to find out a lot more about that side of it. But the way you were diagnosed was very difficult. I know, Stuart, you want to say something about that, don't you?
It was a very, very great shock, because Denise was in supposedly for a very common and straightforward operation, which evolved over a couple of weeks, because we didn't really know until maybe 2 weeks after the op, when we saw the consultant surgeon, that it was cancer. And when we actually got the news on the day, I mean, you could have knocked both of us over. You really could. It was a big, big blow, and delivered really in quite a sort of mechanical manner, I suppose, is the way I would describe how we were told about it. So I mean, we walked out of there in, I'll be quite honest about it, we walked out of the place in tears, and it really was some time afterwards before we got our heads around it. It was very difficult.
And you had a really big support, didn't you, from a specialist nurse?
Yes, we did. If it hadn't been for my Macmillan cancer nurse, whose name is Mark Danieletto, I don't think I would have survived, because he provided all the emotional support that a specialist could give. I mean, obviously Stuart was there to give me incredible support, but Mark was someone who somehow just knew what I was going through. He'd seen many other people going through it. He knew what to say. He knew how to deal with my trauma, and I'm forever grateful to him.
Mm. And did you have involvement with him as well, Stuart, as a, you know, being the husband for Denise?
I did. I mean, one of the big things that can easily be missed is that when you're the patient, as Denise was, and you are rabbit in the headlights with a consultant surgeon and people telling you all sorts of technical things, you don't hear it. And because I was able to be there, as is common practice now, I could remember all the things that were being said, and I could relay those to Denise afterwards when we were back at home. And that's such a big, big thing to understand, is that the shock is so great to the patient that they lose all sort of rational thinking, really, and so they need almost like a tape recorder there. You're actually doing that for them, and that's such an important part.
Absolutely vital, isn't it? And so we're going to get on to talking about the group, but it was Mark had the idea to set up a group, didn't he?
It was. It was only a few months after my chemotherapy that he got in touch with me and said he was thinking of setting up this group. Would I be interested? And he asked four other people, because there were six of us at that first meeting. He had this idea to set up the group because his husband, Paul, who sadly isn't with us anymore, had a cancer, bowel cancer. And clearly it was important to him to set up a group where he could be the voice of the patients and the interface between patients and hospital services, because he knew exactly how traumatized patients were and how ignorant of what was happening to them.
Yeah.
And so he was just insistent that, you know, he wanted to set up, he'd wanted it for years, to set up a group. And he happened to choose me, which is a great honour, really.
And the group got set up in 2011.
Yes. Yeah. It took a while to set it up, you know, lots of meetings and what should we do and what should we call it and how should we approach it. But the first meeting was the 27th September 2011.
Well, we're going to hear loads more about it, but we're going to go to another piece of music now. So who wants to tell us about this one?
I seem to be doing a lot of speaking. James Taylor is someone who I really admire, because he's just got a voice like an angel.
Wow, we like people with a voice like an angel. So this is called You've Got a Friend.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing's going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call running, oh yeah, baby,
doctor to his call. And I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call. Be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. And I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, baby, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
From 1971, James Taylor, talking about my guests are Denise and Stuart Savage, and we've got loads more to talk about the Seaside Colorectal Support Group.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
Good time, having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger.
The Fantastic Queen from 1979 with Don't Stop Me Now. Stuart, you're going to tell us about that one, aren't you?
Well, we are both children of the rock and roll era, and I think that is as good a signature tune for Denise as I know.
Absolutely, yeah, I think we're getting that picture. So I'm talking to Denise and Stuart Savage, and they're from a group called Seaside, which is a colorectal support group, isn't it? And we're going to be talking lots more about the group itself now. So we learned, didn't we, before our track, that the group started in 2011 as a result of your specialist nurse Mark talking to you about setting this group up, didn't you? And it's actually, you know, I don't want to jump forward too much yet, but it's become very influential, hasn't it, Denise?
It has become influential, because not only do we meet to support each other and to listen and to share and to help people not feel isolated, but we've also had a very close relationship with the NHS. So for example, now at Brighton Hospital, they have nurse-run clinics, and it's the nurses that give the diagnosis.
Right.
And not the consultants. Obviously, you know, the consultants make the diagnosis, but they realise that it's such a difficult area, the actual informing of the patient, that it's the nurses that do it now, and Seaside were instrumental in helping to bring that about.
That's amazing, isn't it? So the group actually links in and has an influence on practice.
Absolutely. And the other big thing that I think we've done is helped towards something which is called the five-year plan, where we all said, you know, when you have a meeting with your consultant or the nurse, you never quite know what's going to happen, and so they drew up a plan for CT scans and blood tests and meetings with a consultant that were on a regular basis over 5 years, and you had that right after your diagnosis, so you can see what you're doing in 2, 3, 4, 5 years time, and you can put this in your diary, and you can, you know, get your head around the whole business of how you're being monitored. And certainly we work very closely with one of the specialists, well, with two of them actually. I want to mention Jill Hilton, who still works in that department, and Sarah Back, who now works for the bowel screening program. We work very closely with them in helping to establish the five-year plan.
That's brilliant. So before the five-year plan, how did people feel? I mean, were you kind of a bit in limbo, Stuart, do you think?
Well, very much so. I mean, obviously, my position is carer, I guess you'd call me, but that means caring about everything. And knowing what the procedures are going to be was something we were lost on until you continually ask questions, you talk to different people until you have a picture. But now the picture exists from the beginning, which it must be so much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and how you're describing it and what the group is actually doing, you know, the experiences that Denise, you had, and Stuart, you had, that, you know, hopefully that won't be, you know, people's experience now. The experience will be very different about how, you know, you get the news and how you get your support.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. It doesn't detract from the fact that it's still a terrible, terrible shock. And the whole point of Seaside is to try and cushion that shock and help people to realise they're not on their own, that they can talk about bums and poo and that sort of thing, and whatever wounds they've got and whatever treatment they're having, whether it's chemotherapy. We can all share our experiences, and it's been really, really important for a lot of people.
So if I had received, you know, if we pretend I'm a new patient and I've received a diagnosis from the specialist nurse, and they give me one of your leaflets, because you have leaflets about the group, and they say, you know, I think this, you might find this helpful, and I decide I'm going to come along. I know there's numbers on the back which we're going to give people, but how, you know, how would I experience the group, Stuart? How would I, you know, turning up obviously probably quite, you know, in a very difficult space and not knowing what I need really either.
I think there are two scenarios. One is if you've been able to contact us by telephone, then the person will be an experienced member of the group who will talk you through, you know, what your understanding of where you are and what's going on is for you, and give you an introduction such that when you arrive you've got some idea. Quite commonly otherwise is that because of the nurse specialists giving you the information, that a patient will come straight into a meeting. There are periods before the meeting when it can be talked to individually by and people and welcomed and given a format and maybe sat with a friend who will give them the clues on what's going to happen as the meeting goes on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chair at the meeting who is the head of the committee. There is a committee that runs Seaside, made up of a number of members, all of which are quite experienced. And what they will do is to help to introduce. It's not like a sort of formal induction program or anything like that. It's very personal. So you will actually be taken through really other people's experiences and say, look, just come in, sit down, listen, and I'm sure if you have any questions or things you're worried about, people will become emotional in those circumstances. It's a very, very difficult time for everybody. So that is all understood and completely confidential and quiet in the group. I think they have no problems at all being introduced. I think I can't think of one example where people have come and not been able to be comfortably absorbed into the group.
So it sounds like a very safe space and where people can be held, and you've all got used to listening and holding each other's stories, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's absolutely right. We also have guest speakers who come along who talk about various aspects of our treatment. So it might be to do with diet, it might be exercise or emotional well-being. We've had assertiveness training, how to look your consultant in the eye.
That sounds like a good one.
For me, some of the best meetings are when we just go around and say, okay, you know, how are we at today? How are you feeling? Where are you in your treatment?
Mm.
Because, you know, one day is not like another. I'm a very positive person, but there are times when I just feel so down that, you have to admit how you feel, and I think people have got used to that.
Yeah. And you can say it how it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know you're not alone. I think that's the thing. You're not isolated. We've had a lot of help from Seaside, as well as, you know, giving a lot to it.
Yeah, and that sounds, you know, the group, you talked about the members, you know, might be the one who answers the phone to somebody. So it's not a passive group. It's people, you know, they're taking part, they're participating.
Yes.
And it's, you know, and it's running and everything.
Absolutely. I mean, we have members, for example, who are involved with the hospital itself in their employment, who are dedicated to finding speakers' times to come to the meetings. There are people who come in and just help with their catering, take turns to, you know, make the tea and the coffee and help out with things. There are people who maybe have some experience in exercise programs, and after a specialist speaker has trained us in it, they will run those and such like. We have one member who, as a result of time, has become a specialist bread baker, and he brings brings really nice loaves in for us all to enjoy. You know.
Oh, how lovely. Yeah. That sounds so nice. Well, we're going to go to your next piece of music now. So who's going to tell us about this one?
I think I will, because this was chosen by our daughter, Anna.
Ah, yes, we wanted to give a shout out to her.
Yes,
she's a special lady.
Anna is a very special lady. She's just become a head teacher at Summerdown School, a specialist a school for special youngsters with autism and quite complex physical needs. And it only opened last week.
It's in Eastbourne, isn't
it's
it?
It's in Eastbourne.
Yeah, so a big shout out to everybody there.
Absolutely. We went and visited it today and it is absolutely out of this world. It's so well equipped. It's beautiful.
And so this is for Anna.
This is specially for Anna. And she actually chose it because she said when they were little, because we had three children under five, and when she was about, well, I don't know, eight, and the youngest was about four, Kate Bush did Wuthering Heights, and they used to act it out. Oh, my goodness, I can still picture them now dancing and kneeling on the floor.
Well, Anna, I hope you're ready to act it out again. Here it comes.
Just you, I hated
78. Oh, the fabulous Kate Bush with Wuthering Heights. My special guests on the show tonight are Denise and Stuart Savage from Seaside Colorectal Cancer Support Group. We've got loads more to talk about. You're listening to Kathy Harding on Community People. That's from 1995, Common People. Oh, I could have chosen that. That was one of my favourites too, Denise.
Well, I must be honest, I like it enormously, but it was my chosen by our granddaughter, who's called Ember. Ember goes to Seaford Head School, and she prides herself on being slightly different. And if you can believe it, she's a real fan of Jarvis Cocker.
And I can't believe a 14-year-old. Wow.
And not only that, she's been to see him She has bought his book and has a photograph of herself taken with him having signed the book. So really, it's
good on you, Ember. You're so cool in my book. Okay, so I'm talking to Denise and Stuart Savage, if you've just tuned in, and they are from Seaside Colorectal Cancer Support Group, and they're telling us all about it. So, first of all, what I wanted to make sure we're clear about is what areas the group covers. So, Stuart, would you mind giving us a rundown?
Yes, because essentially surgery-wise it's focused from Brighton, so it travels from really the far reaches of Hove, Brighton itself, Rottingdean, all of the towns between Rottingdean and Newhaven, you know, Peacehaven and so on. And the furthest east we go is to Seaford, where in fact we currently live. So inland we go as far as, well, beyond Lewes and up to Haywards Heath.
You know, it's quite far reach, your group, really. I mean, that's pretty wide, isn't it?
And it's a big population in that area too.
Definitely.
Yes.
And how do people contact you? I think that's the really important number that we want to give out, isn't there?
Yes, first of all, we have a permanent telephone number where there's always a member of Seaside available, and that is 07708-676-499. We also have an excellent website, which is www.c-sidebrighton.org. On there you will find a mass of information and contact details. Even if you didn't come to a meeting, you would find that useful in itself, I think.
And we can stress to people as well, it's the letter C as opposed to S-E-A. It's the letter C, isn't it?
Capital C.
It's a small C.
Wow, okay.
Got a difference of opinion. Okay, so that's how people can contact, so brilliant. And go onto the website, and there's also Facebook, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yes, there's a direct link from the website to Facebook.
And you have monthly meetings, don't you?
Monthly meetings currently on the last Thursday of the month in the afternoon between 2 and 4 o'clock.
Okay.
It's possible to arrive earlier than that, and it always can carry a little after, but that's the focus, yes.
And who's going to tell us about the venue? Because you're changing venue, aren't you?
We are changing venue. It has up to now been in Rottingdean, but we've had to give up our space for a preschool group. So we are moving to Saltdean, to St. Margaret's Church Hall.
St. Martin's, you're right.
We were at St. Margaret's. St. Martin's Church Hall, beg your pardon.
And that's in Saltdean.
Yes.
Okay. And you've got a very important event coming up, haven't you?
Oh, yes, our Christmas party.
Yeah. Will be fully catered.
We have two very special social events, and that's our summer picnic and our Christmas party.
I'm going to try and wangle an invite to the Christmas party.
Yes, do.
Love a bit of cake. And you've done loads of fundraising, haven't you? I mean, you know, you were telling me off air loads of different fundraising you do. Do you want to mention anything about your activities?
Yes, we work very closely with a number of groups. Obviously, Macmillan and the Horizon Centre, where several of our members have been volunteers. But they also allow the space to be available for us to work with Albion in the Community, which is the charitable branch of the football club. And they provide free exercise classes for Seaside members, or anyone who's had cancer, really, and their carers.
That's brilliant, isn't it? So big shout out to them.
Shout out to the Macmillan Horizon Centre. We're very lucky to have that here. It's the only centre, I think, in the south of England. Mm. Albion and the Community have been great. They have supported us when we did a whole day at I don't know if I'm allowed to mention it, a big supermarket.
In Hollingbury?
In Hollingbury. A big supermarket that allowed us to use their...
Starts with A, ends with an A.
That allowed us to use their foyer to do an awareness-raising day. And we had Albion in the Community, Macmillan, the colorectal nurse specialists. We had the... our screening program, and loads of members, and we just gave out leaflets and freebies and that, and the supermarket was great and gave us loads of free fruit. We must have touched how many people?
More than 1,000.
Well, that's incredible, isn't it? And getting that really important message out there, and, you know, the support's available and people aren't on their own. I think that's the thing that's really come across to me throughout the show, really.
Absolutely. And loads of people didn't know, for example, about bowel screening. You know, it had come to them and they'd ignored it. And this was a really important opportunity for them to realize that, you know, if they can catch it early, then they could do something about it. And we also emphasized the symptoms for bowel cancer, because a lot of people didn't realize that, you know, just having a pain in your tummy was something that was significant. And, you know, if your bowel habits change or you get a distended tummy, you know, it might well be a type of reaction to a tumour.
So best to have it checked out, isn't it? Absolutely. Right. And giving that information out, I mean, I think that's one thing about the group, isn't it, that you're a support group, but you're giving out really important information too.
Yes.
A big message on bowel cancer is, if caught early, it is curable, survivable.
Thank you. I think that's really helpful, Stuart, because we're coming to the end and it's important to end on a positive note. I can't thank you enough for coming in. We'll have to get you back. But tell us about your last track, because we're going out to, it's Eddie Grant, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is a kind of a personal thing for me. I spent a lot of years travelling up and down to London in the days when you could go in and out by motor car to visit major customers during the day. I ended up frequently coming down the old A23 through Brixton and passing Electric Avenue.
Oh, well, there you go. So we're listening to Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant. And thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to Denise and Stuart for coming and on and being our special guests. Now stay tuned, because we've got Keith Baxter bringing us the rock and roll show after the 8 o'clock news. And yeah, let's have a listen to this. Thanks so much. Have a really fabulous rest of your evening. Bye for now.
Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. Working so hard like a soldier, can't afford a thing on TV. Deep in my heart I abhor ya, can't get food for the kid. Good God, we gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
Electric Avenue. And then Pacific Avenue.
And then we'll take it higher. Hey, we're gonna rock down to
Electric Avenue. Electric Avenue.
Rock it in the night.
Take it higher. Electric Avenue.
Rock it in my yard. Me and my mommy.
Electric Avenue.
Oh, yeah.